Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
You got it. You got it. That's right. We said go BBS Radio, the Tony Sands Show. I'm back another week. Got my man here feeling good. Broncos doing good. This time, a couple weeks ago, he was scared to. He came out here with that ninja mask on, but now he has
Lucha Libre
mask on. Now he got his regular hat on. He feeling good. Even done bought him some jewelry to the show, you know what I'm saying? So that lets you know when the Broncos are on fire, they are on fire tonight on the show. Listen, man, we're going to get into some good topics. Bill Belichick, it is rumor has it that Bill Belichick would not be around next year because New England is already eliminated from the playoffs. So will those two, Kraft, Belichick, finally part ways? We're going to dig into that a little bit. We're going to dig into the biggest thing going when it comes to analytics and when you look at Google. College football is taking over everything right now. They're the main topics of sports, bigger than the NFL right now because all the moves that are going on. We're going to bring our man. Listen, Patterson, I bring him on when I need to break news to you. He broke some news yesterday about the new transfer portal. We're going to dive into that. And how a judge in West Virginia has did a major move and how it's going to affect the NCAA moving forward. I told everybody in reference to when it came down to the young ladies filing their situation, how this thing is going to trickle down, and it is taking a trickle-down effect that is changing the way that college sports are being looked at. Will these kids be looked at as student-athletes, or will they start to become employees? We're going to dive into that a little bit. And then we're going to get into who do you think is the coach of the year in the NFL if he was making the decision, which coach you think is doing the best job with what they have, and making the team value more than what it was before they got there or during the time while they're there. Was there. So we're going to dive into that a little bit, B. Man, what's going on, my brother? This is us. We back another week, man. What's happening, my brother?
Happy to be back on the Tony Sands Show, giving people good information about this NFL that they will not get anywhere else. Topics, subjects, and information you will not get anywhere else but right here on the Tony Sands Show. So excited to be back. A lot to talk about, brother.
Let's dive into your Broncos situation. Okay. Man, listen, you guys can possibly, you know, that wild card position is sitting real pretty for the Broncos.
Listen, Sean Payton has done a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Wow. This football team was 1-5, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not forget, there's only been about four teams in the common era of the National Football League that have ever come back from a 1-5 record to make the National Football League playoffs. So Sean Payton has the ability in the same year to take a historical L by giving up 70, you know, the points to Miami and all of that, and be able to make the playoffs, which has never been done before. He's corrected Russell Wilson, okay? All of us had questions of Russell Wilson,
right? And at one point, they were saying that you guys were going to get a top five pick because you guys were doing just that bad when it was coming. Like you say, he was 1-5. How do you take a 1-5? What do you think he's done so drastically to take you from 1-5 to where now you're in pretty much in a wild card position?
I'll tell you the biggest thing that I think that's actually happened is him I'm going to give you something that nobody's talked about. What he's been able to do with Russell Wilson is this. He's last year, what was happening is Russell Wilson would get the play from Nathaniel Hackett. He would come to the line of scrimmage, and Russell Wilson had full autonomy and control to run the play as he would like to run it.
Correct.
It was unadulterated chaos. It's the same thing that Pete Carroll said that he wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson for in Seattle. He wanted to do his own thing. Unscripted, uncalculated, couldn't work. This year, Sean Payton, if you notice, Russell Wilson comes to the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
He calls a signal, and it's a dummy signal. And for the people out there don't know, it's a dummy call. So the call that he's calling is allowing the defensive people and position players to already show what they're hedging to do because they think Russ is going to call the play by clapping or calling a snap. The dummy call then allows Russ to then analyze what Sean Payton has given him, which is two reads, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct.
One is going to be a run read, left or right. The other one is going to be a pass play. Russ cannot deviate from those two things. He must run it as Sean has given it to him based off of the read. So that's what I think is the biggest thing that's happened. The defense was a top-tier defense last year. It took weeks for them to learn Vance Joseph's system. I think that everyone, including myself, was hypercritical of Vance Joseph and Vance Joseph's system. It was not working. But we all must understand it takes a long time for people to understand a scheme and everything. The offensive line has improved. They were looking very bad in the first 6 to 7 weeks. These guys have cohesively come together. And as we know in the National Football League, in order to have success, you have to have a good offensive line that works cohesively well. They've all played every single game together in this season, the Denver Broncos offensive line. So you've got cohesion with a bunch of guys that come together on the defensive side of the ball with a new coordinator. You got a coach who's now giving the quarterback no longer autonomy and control. He must run the play as scripted, and an offensive line that's come together. And that's why I think the Broncos are where they are.
And you said that he's taken pretty much the control of Russ. When we look at Russ, what was Russ doing in Seattle and what was Russ doing in the beginning of this season, and you got to figure out, look at what he did last season. Like you say, everybody at some point, Broncos fans was, hey, y'all was saying, bye-bye, Russ. We need you out of here. Now you guys have got a resurgence. You're getting ready to possibly make that run at the wild card position.
Correct.
Man, when you look at the play of this team, I continue to look at the players and how the players are responding. Even down to, like we spoke of Jerry Jeudy, how Jerry Jeudy now is playing lights out. And some people at that time was writing Jerry Jeudy off. But we look at y'all's schedule and we look down the line. You guys, you know, you got Detroit, you got the Patriots. You got the Chargers, and then the Raiders. When I look at those, look at that list, I can see you guys easily popping off at least three of those out of those four teams. I can see you winning. The Detroit game probably be your toughest game to get through. So I can see that being done, you know, and that puts you guys in, you know, that puts you good. That puts you guys at a position to where now we can go ahead and make this run for the playoffs. Now what you do in the playoffs, that's going to be another story.
That's another animal. That's another animal right there.
But to Courtland get there,
Courtland Sutton has stepped up big time now, Tony. Yes. I mean, this is a guy who's coming off ACL surgery. This guy was basically me and Broncos country included.
Y'all was ready to get
this guy out of here, man.
He was y'all was saying, listen, you can't use him as trade bait.
You can't be 6'4", 225, 230 pounds with the skill set of Courtland Sutton with the performance that he had. So we basically needed the guy to step up, and I think he stepped up admirably right now. I mean, I always loved Courtland Sutton coming out of SMU. I thought the kid was talented, and now he's really taking on the responsibility to grow the wide receiver unit. Love what he's doing.
He's right now at 10 touchdowns. He's at 10 touchdowns on the year. Right. So he is he is playing lights out football.
I'll give you one more and being that we're right here on the Tony Sands Show, and it's our job to give the public something that they're not going to hear first and foremost sometimes. I'm going to be the first person to go on record to tell you that Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. If you remember, when the season started, I told everybody they are going to allow him to go to the Minnesota game.
Yes, you
and
did.
I said that will be you the did. Time when we see. Remember I said that?
I give you that. Yeah, I give you that.
He passed the test. So whether we like him, don't like him, fans don't like him, whatever, Russell Wilson's playing really good ball. I think in another year in the Sean Payton system, I think he's going to really be able to excel even better. He's going to be even better next year. He's going to know more of the offense, more of the scheme. So I'm just saying, you haven't heard it anywhere first.
Yeah.
But right here on the Tony Sandshaw, I'm going to let you know the Denver Broncos will have Russell Wilson under center 2024.
That you did. I thought it would have been earlier. I had said to myself, I had wrote him off earlier, but Sean Payton has did what he had to do to control of this team. I think it took Sean a little bit to get his juice in the building to let them know that, hey, this is my team, as he told Russ then. Listen, stop kissing the babies.
That's right.
And get in the film room. Stop and kissing now, the babies and now, get in the film room.
Now we just need Jerry Jeudy. If he could, hey, listen, Sean Payton probably told Jerry Jeudy this week, if you could dance, if you could catch halfway when you could dance, we'd have a wide receiver. My man scored a touchdown, called other people over to do a routine with him, and they got the play call back. All because of him.
Hey, that's – listen. And we're starting to see some of this stuff kind of play out throughout the NFL to where we got to be this celebrating outside of the touchdowns. You got to be careful on how it is because it can cost you. I look at, and not that it was a touchdown celebration. I look at the situation with Kansas City. How are you as a wide receiver? And I still – you played wide receiver – youth league, once you get to high school, your coaches have already trained you that, hey, look to the sideline.
Right.
Ask the ref if you're good. Ask the ref if you're good.
That's right.
Once the ref say, you good, he put up his thumb, play continue. If not, ref going to tell you to get back. How do you go? How do you go that game? And you do not ask the ref, am I good? You're a professional wide receiver. This is what you get paid to make these type of decisions. And what does it cost you? It costs you the game. Your quarterback get in an uproar, making a lot of noise that he had to, you know, we can't backtrack on.
That's right.
Listen, Andy Reid came out today and said, yeah, he was clearly offside.
And guess what? To everybody listening, even our young guys, because you work with a lot of the youth wide receivers and a lot of the youth players, Tone. If all the young guys listening, there's guys that you work with right now, St. Thomas Aquinas or any other school in Florida or anywhere else, that will tell you he was offsides.
Yeah, you can see it.
And on top of that, too, he never looked back. If you notice, when he ran to the line of scrimmage, he pointed to the ref and he looked back and looked down ready for the play. He has to then make eye contact back with the sideline official. They'll tell him, shade back.
Stay back, yes.
You give him the thumb this way. Look, I didn't play professional football. I didn't play college football. I played up to high school football.
But you know enough in high school.
My position was wide receiver. And I can tell you, that is guaranteed. You got to know how to do that.
That's as we would say, that's elementary. That's elementary.
Now, here's a caveat to something that somebody told me. I said, that's an interesting point. Somebody mentioned to me, do you think that the play was scripted? And he was so excited to be part of this play, he mentally wasn't focused and he lost the mental breakdown that's required to be a professional athlete. Correct. What do you think about that?
And I can agree with that. That happens to where you lose the focus of where you're at because you're focusing so much on what you're going to do when the play comes to you, how you're going to perform that you lose track of everything around you.
Right.
But as a professional, you get paid to make the professional decision. You're not in high school. And I'm not even going to give it to a college guy because of what's happening at the college level. And as we talk about the college level, we go into the college level with everything that is going on around transition, that everything that is going on around the college world, man. Listen, quarterbacks have become the premium at the college level, just as they are the premium at the professional level. Quarterbacks are moving, jumping, you name it. The top quarterbacks are traveling all over the place. Cam Ward right now is penciled in to possibly go to the University of Miami.
He was just
at Prime 112.
I like Cam Ward. Cam Ward, ladies and gentlemen, out of Washington State University that Tony's talking about right now. Very talented quarterback coming out of the Pac-12.
And listen, I know I kind of jugged at you when I said there's a possibility he's, 100% Miami, for the simple fact I know, guys, he is a Florida State fan. So
to dig into Florida State,
he was one of those ones that was sick when Florida State didn't get in. He was sick to his stomach. And the reason that Florida State, one of the reasons that they didn't get in because of the quarterback situation. So that's why we're going to dab a little bit deeper into this. If he goes to Miami, this is one of the guys, he's supposed to be on Florida State campus tomorrow. He's supposed to be making his official visit to Florida State tomorrow. But now, the way the dominoes may fall, and this is my prediction of this domino effect of where a quarterback is going to fall into your lap. It might not be the quarterback that you wanted, but it is a quarterback that is good for you.
Give me some good.
We go Cam. If Cam goes to Miami.
Okay.
Cam goes to Miami.
You know who I'll take.
With what just happened at the University of Texas, with Malik Murphy going into the – just listen to me now. Just follow me. With Malik Murphy going into the transfer portal.
All right.
DJ, this is who I got DJ going. I got DJ going to Louisville.
Hold on a second now. Why not DJ Ugalele now, ladies and gentlemen, playing for Florida State?
I got him going. I think he fits Louisville's system a little bit better than Florida State system. But then
Louisville got a nice team, nice coach.
For what he does, DJ, for what he does and what he has done, now he is a winner. But for what he is as a quarterback and how his scheme, how he plays the quarterback position, I think he fits Louisville a little bit better. And then that's where Murphy falls in Florida State's lap.
I'll tell you something for the benefit of that with Florida State now. I can't judge Malik Murphy yet because I haven't seen enough of Malik Murphy. But what I like is he has gotten some playing experience, right?
Yes, he does.
He does have, if I'm not mistaken, still has 3 years of eligibility left, right?
Yes. And that's the one thing that everybody been questioning. With him having so much of eligibility left, and I thought it would be a plus, they think it might scare off some of these younger guys that you guys were looking at earlier. But if I'm betting my life on this, I would say I'm going after the guy that has the experience. And I think the only reason why I think he's leaving out of Texas, because it is written on the wall. First of all,
Archie
Manning, name is going to beat you out. Archie Manning is going to beat you out. He's not going anywhere. Right. So now you look at the way the dominoes fall. Because he brings too much money to Texas with him being there. Now, Murphy decided, hey, he's going to jump into the portal, which now that makes Archie, Mr. Manning himself, as the
number second, two,
as the backup going into
the college football playoff.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing with Malik Murphy also. Here's another caveat of Malik Murphy why I think it's beneficial for Florida State. Listen. Matt Rhule recently came out, as we all know, and said it costs $1 to $2 million in transfer portal to get a quarterback. An experienced quarterback costs $1 to $2 million, name, image, likeness, for him to transfer to your school. So if Malik Murphy were to play for Florida State with 3 years of eligibility, and we actually got 2 to 3 years out of him, we wouldn't have to be in the transfer portal hypothetically to be searching $2 million a season a quarterback.
and if those young guys don't pan out, And with where Murphy is right now, his asking price is only $200,000+.
Oh, that's done deal then. That's done deal.
You can go get – I was with some Florida State alumni earlier, not too long ago. And the one thing one of the guys has said is that, I don't know if DJ fit our system. And then on the two side, I don't know if we have the money to sign.
He's different price bracket, brother.
Yeah. He is a totally –
He's a $1 million.
$1.1 million that he's asking if you come after me as a quarterback. I'm telling you, Cam is at 1.1. So these are guys that you're going to have your pockets ready to get. I think Murphy falls in your slot now, which would be a great thing for you. If he was to fall in, I keep on telling Florida State fans, Malik. I don't think he fits your system as what you want. I think he's more going to sit back there and be that big target. I don't think he can. But Malik has college experience, and that's what you want. at playing at the big level, playing in the.
And I don't have to pay $1 million every season.
You
ain't got
to pay $1 million to get him to go, like you say, to go forward. You already have it. Do you spend that kind of money on a Malik?
Done deal for $275,000. Yeah, that's
you got it. You can, and now you can look
that's
at
lunch, that's lunch money for Florida State. My
you look at negotiating with lunch money. You look at negotiating. Now you can put some money somewhere else in the free agent market. You can put money elsewhere. But with that being said, now people got to understand. I'm gonna dive into some new rules. I've been breaking new rules down constantly on my Facebook Live to a lot of people about the way college football is going. I interviewed earlier today because he's tied up this afternoon, so this evening, so I had to bring him on. DP, which is Mr. Patterson, who breaks a lot of things going on with college sports. If you look at his Facebook, his Facebook and his Instagram, he breaks a lot of stories when it comes to college football. He's got his thumb on the pulse of college sports. I interviewed him today in reference to a new ruling that a judge in West Virginia has stated a stay. And when we say a stay, he's stated that he's given second-year transfer portal guys eligibility. Eligibility. What I mean by that is that, say if I was in the transfer portal, and I'm gonna just throw somebody. If I was in the transfer portal and I played for the University of Washington, okay? But I don't like Washington.
Right.
I want to transfer to
Tulane.
That's my first portal transfer. But I get to Tulane and I say, I don't like this place neither. I'm going to jump and I'm going to go to the University of Miami. Guess what? I don't have to sit anymore. There's no more sitting. There is no, he's opened the door and it's only a 14-day temporary stay. But on December 27th, he will rule back on this. And the way the people saying that they know this judge is going to wind up making this permanent. And now here we go. We're going to get into some other parameters that's going to change the way college sports is. Understand, you remember when Liv, when the golfing world was turned upside down with Liv.
Right.
The money was being thrown out there at a level that was unbelievable to where it made the PGA guys pissed off in the beginning. They didn't like it. They hated anybody that went to Liv. And then eventually, what happens to the PGA? You join up with Liv.
Right.
Because you couldn't beat them, so you had to go join them because they was taking all of the talent. Now, let's transfer back. Let's talk about this new ruling. I'm going to let my man Patterson come on and let him explain a little bit of this ruling as we dabbed into it earlier, and he was explaining it a little deeper in detail. And this rule takes more effect for right now for basketball. So if you was a guy that transferred to a school as a second-year transfer and you didn't have eligibility as of 2 days ago, you just now can bounce the ball on the court for the school that you transferred in. And you'll probably wind up getting hopefully 2, 3, 4, 5 games in.
Crazy.
It's going to open up a wild, wild west of college sports, which means you're seeing the decline of the NCAA. But let's go to Patterson. Thomas, let's play that interview that I did, guys. I had this interview with him earlier today. He's going to explain this in detail when it comes to college sports. He has his thumb on the pulse. He's always breaking the stories on his Instagram. You can tune into his Instagram at DP Patterson, and he's going to give it to you. We ready, Thomas? Let's play a little bit of that interview. Let's dive into that. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Listen, each and every Thursday, you're going to get me breaking down sports, whether it's college, high school, or the NFL. But right now, the most analytics that you are finding in the sports world is around college football, because each and every day, things are changing. And we don't know if they're changing temporarily for the better or permanently for the good of college sports. But it is a lot of things going on. And when I get ready to dab into what I mean college sports, I call on my insider that I use. I have to go to the great state of Texas and call my guy DP. He's going to break this thing down. He broke it yesterday. I saw it and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on again in college football. So welcome to the Tony Sands Show, my man DP. What's going on, my brother?
Nothing much, man. Just glad to be a part of the show. Glad to be able to break some football down. College football is going crazy. So, like I said, we're going to talk about it.
Listen, man, let's dive into this thing, man. You broke it on your Instagram yesterday about the new ruling from the judge in West Virginia, Mr. John P. Bailey, breaks this rule. Break it down so where we know that there's a temporary stay for athletes that are making the transfer. I don't call it the transfer portal. I call it the free agency market because that's the way this thing is navigating. I think they're using the transfer portal to make it still sound like it's the college field, but we know this is the same as the free agency market in the NFL. So break it down of what this judge has opened up college football to.
So basically when you and I played, right, when you went to a school, let's say we both went to KU, right? So you go to KU, and I don't like it there. I used to be able to transfer out. But when I transferred out, I would have to sit 1 year unless I went – if I was a D1 guy, unless I went down to D1 AA, D2 below. So if down, I could play immediately. If I stayed at the same level or went up, you would have to sit out. If you transferred within your conference, you would have to sit out 2 years.
2 years. And you know, P, I had to go through that because I had to travel down that journey with my own son. But not only do you have to sit out, but back then, they can dictate where you can and could not go. If a college say, hey, listen, I want to move back home to be closer to my family, and all of a sudden the college say, well, you can't go to Miami, you can't go to FAU, you can't go to Florida State, you can't go to Florida. So it limits you of the Florida school. So now you got to go to the next closest state would be Georgia. What happened to all those things with this new rule?
So now, before the rule even came in place, the transfer portal lets you transfer anywhere pretty much, and then you can play immediately. So everybody's like, okay, cool, we're happy about that. Well, the problem was there were kids saying, well, I went from KU to, let's say, Oregon, and I didn't have to sit out, but now I don't like Oregon no more. And now I have to sit out when I transfer again. Well, this new ruling said, if you transfer twice, still, go play. Go play. So all so the college football guys pretty much missed out except for, like, a bowl game. But the basketball and baseball and whatever sports are going on right now, those basketball kids are now eligible to play immediately, even if they're a second or where they were in their mind like, dang, man, I got to sit out this year and just practice, be a scout team guy. They're able to hoop. They're able to get on a track. They're able to play baseball now. So it changed the whole ruling. And I don't know how long it'll stay or if they'll keep it. I think it's going to stay. How everything's moving, everything's opening up, it's probably going to stay. And now I don't know where you get to when it's a guy that wants to transfer 3 years. You stop it there or is it every year? But, yeah.
And see, right now, like you said, the way it's being played out now, as it said, it is a temporary 14-day stay. And the judge, Patterson, will be ruling again. I mean, Judge John will be ruling on this again, Patterson, in December 27th, he'll rule on this again to see if he's going to keep it or is it going to go back to the old. But the way it's looking, the way they say it is looking is that he's expecting to make this a permanent ruling. Now, how far up the chain of the court system does this go? Do the NCAA come back and say, well, we want to challenge his ruling? And now we become in a back and forth, and does his ruling stand until a higher court decides that, hey, no, we're going to stay with this entity. But I don't even know if the NCAA at this point want to even fight any rulings that are coming down because they're knowing right now that they're losing this battle to the major conferences, to players, because each and every time that they set a rule, players are now being smart and they're suing that same ruling. And that's what happened in this case. We're seeing so much of this stuff evolve in the sense of benefiting these young athletes, because the way that we were conformed, the way they conformed it to us is that, hey, listen, it's either me or no go, period. Right. You weren't going to be able to go We tell you where to go. We control this. Now, a lot of these coaches have gotten to where they can't control it. And I think that's what's turning this thing up. Not only that, but the NIL deal, when that kicked into place, it changed the whole dynamics of college sports. Where do you see this is playing out as you see it right now?
I think it's going to stick. And the reason why I think it's going to stick is because the NCAA is already petitioning as well to start getting the name, image, likeness to partner with the actual schools instead of going outside. So they're saying, let's forget these collectives or let's bring the collectives in-house. Because right me, to start a KU collective.
Correct.
But now they're going to say, forget DP and Tony doing it. Let's just start our own one with the people we hire in-house. Let's get these deals. Let's license their name. Let's license their jersey and basically start saying, hey, we'll push it. We'll do probably profit shares and all that stuff. Right. But yeah, so they're already moving towards, we better help these athletes. And even though we might not want to do this and that, we're going to do it because they know they're losing and they don't want people to start breaking off, forming their own leagues. We know Live Golf has done it, F1, Society, so all that. They're trying to keep everything intact because they know, hey, all it takes is a little bit of money for somebody to say, hey, Alabama, leave the NCAA. We're going to take you, Georgia, Texas, OU, USC, and start our own 12-man league.
Yep, and I'm telling you, if you look at the way it's playing out to where the Pac-12 within a week was dissolved, now you only have two teams that are in that, and you call it the Pac-2. But how long can those two last in that conference? Now you're looking at the SEC. I tell people right now, the SEC is the most powerful college conference in college football. When you got Texas going in, you got Alabama going in, you got Georgia going in, you got USC going in. So at this point, you're pretty much covering the bases of the nation. One of the top tier from the West Coast, USC. Alabama.
USC will be going to the USC will be going to Big Ten for USC.
Big Ten. So that
but
big
you USC. Still have OU, but you still have OU going in as well, who's been a national power with powerhouse. Along with Texas.
Yeah, so this is where now you get the Big Ten, you got the ACC, which I always tell people that's what just hurt Florida State, the ACC, because it's one of the weaker Power Five conferences out there, and that's why Florida State is putting in a ruling to where they're trying to get out of it, but it's going to boil down to dollars and cents. Florida State saying that they are doing it. Even down here in Florida, our governor has petitioned a lawsuit to ask the legislation to give them $1 million to sue the playoff system. But, you know, neither here or there. Florida State, and I told people that Sunday morning when this ruling came into effect, I told them Sunday morning that Florida State was not going to get in. They were not going to get in. I told them two words because I had got a tip on it earlier. There are going to be two words that they were going to hear: player availability, and not only that, strength of schedule. And those two things came back to bite Florida State. And I told Florida State fans here in South Florida went nuts. Now, in one position that hurted Florida State from advancing in the playoff system was a quarterback system. Their quarterback being hurt, second string guy hurt, third string guy. Don't nobody really want to see a third string guy in a playoff system. But we're looking at the transfer portal, and I'm looking at some of the top quarterbacks that are in there. What's one of the quarterbacks that you think that are out on the market now that you think will fit a Florida State type of system?
I think the easiest one to plug in right now, easiest two would be one, Cam Ward would be number one because he can run around just like Jordan Travis and throw the ball. And then you got number two, Malik Murphy, who just came out of UP, right? Yeah. Another mobile guy and can throw the ball. I think those would be your easiest two fits. DJU from Clemson to Oregon State, he could fit. He could throw the ball. He's just not as dynamic as those other two guys. And college football relies a lot on a dynamic quarterback. If you go look at Milroe, then you got Penix, who's not – he's not a crazy runner, but he can move around and he can throw. And then you do got Quinn Ewers, who's more of a pocket passer, but you got a great running game with that, right? And then you have J.J. McCarthy, who he can run around a little bit when he needs to, but he also has a great running game. So if you have a really good running game, you can rely on that. But if you just have a good running game, most guys have dynamic passers as well as runners that are going to be able to make plays. Even Bo Nix, he wasn't, you know, Michael Vick, but he can run around. Jaden Daniels, he can run around. So most of these college teams want guys that can move. DJU is more of a statue back there. So I think the top two would be Malik and Cam, with Cam Ward being number one. I think Cam Ward is getting really good treatment from Miami right now.
Yes. They're trying and that's to get what I was telling some people earlier.
In there.
And see, it was at one point everybody was staying with Ward. They was tying him to Ohio State.
Yep, they were.
Then Florida State, then Miami. Somehow Miami has become the front runner in this thing. And you can notice he was with Rick Ross out to dinner at Prime 112. And I've told people over and over again, once they come down here to Miami with the glitz that Miami brings, that pizzazz of South Beach and Prime 112, go up, live. You're hanging out on out at the Good Tar down there. It is a different atmosphere to be around versus when you go into Ohio State, which we know those are like college towns. They're not like Miami. Don't have what Miami has. And when you look at what shocked me about it this week, and you brought him up, was Murphy. When I was breaking it down last week and I looked at Murphy and I looked at the Manning kid, I looked at their stats. Murphy had more of a stats and looked like he played more than the Manning kid. I don't know if that situation with the pressure that, hey, listen, Manning is going to be the guy here at Texas. I don't know if that caused Murphy himself to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm looking at this. This doesn't seem right. I'm going to put my name in the portal and I'm going to see what's out there for me, because I can see where do you feel like that pressure of the Manning name has forced Murphy to go into the transfer portal.
It wasn't even that. It was Quinn Ewers coming back. Remember, Quinn Ewers was supposed to go to the league.
Correct.
And just all of a sudden decided to come back. So now Murphy knows I have to sit another year. Yeah. And now he would be, so what, I think he was a redshirt freshman this year maybe. So then he'd be a sophomore next year. Then he'd be like, dang, he'd be a junior. So I think it was just a battle. I think he would say. But I'm actually happy that this happened for Murphy, that Ewers came back and he didn't sit there and battle with Manning, because he's going to lose the name battle, right? I tell people, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in college. I don't think he had the best year, though. I think that was Malik Neighbors. But Neighbors lost the name battle. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik, who's your daddy, bro? Right? So it's the same thing with Malik. I think this served him better, because he'll go somewhere where they'll be like, hey, you're our guy, compared to trying to have a 50-50 chance of being a starter when we know it ain't 50-50 against a Manning name. About to have that Manning name sitting again, because if he sat again, you got to realize Murphy would have more years. Like, quarterback's not a spot where your guy does pretty decent, and then, next year you're going to battle him again. The starting quarterback, after you win that job, if you do a good job, you are automatically the starter until you do a bad job. There's really not a battle in the spring if I started last year and I was.
Yes. It's a little different than other positions.
Quarterback, so I think, one, Texas, like, we can't lose Manning. That's too much name. That's too much money. It's too much NIL. So he was going to start the year after Quinn leaves, which would be the year after. So Malik would sit next year behind Quinn. Then he would eventually lose the battle to Manning the very next year. And he would have, like, 1 year playing college when he can play three now somewhere.
Yes, and that's, you know, now that, and like I said, it opened it up, because before Murphy went in, the two of the bigger names that you were hearing was DJ and Ward of Florida State fits and things like that, because a lot of people were kind of penciling, and it was even hinting that Manning name toward Florida State, but he just don't fit a Florida State offense. And I said he didn't fit the Florida State offense, and I don't see him. I see more of, you know, like you said, Ward, which we're seeing now. Ward will be on Florida State campus today, and we're going to see how that plays. And I think once he visits Florida State campus today, I think he's going to pretty much wind it down to those two. And I think Miami wind up winning this battle, because I think it's going to come down to, like you said, NIL. His net value is $1.1 million right now in NIL. So we're going to see how that plays out. When you look at DJs, like I say, he's looking at two places. He got Florida State and Louisville. There's another one of the schools that he's looking at. And right now, Louisville their percentage in it as Louisville is even higher than Florida State. So now, then now, does Murphy's fall right in? If he decides to go to Florida State, does that make Murphy's slides right into the fit of Florida State and he lands on the board for Florida State as Florida State number one quarterback they're going after? So I see that as playing out like as such. But like I say, I don't think DJ is going to – I don't see him going to Miami. I think he's going to wind up going to Louisville. And
I think Louisville's a good ACC team. The competition level is still decent in the ACC, right? You'll be there regardless at Florida State or Louisville. But I think just being like more in a mid-level program, it seemed like he was able to get more comfortable at an Oregon State and a Louisville.
Yeah.
Yes. Just think about it. You're going to be coming in there as the guy that got to follow behind Jordan Travis after an undefeated season. That's a tough role to follow. I feel like, DJ, you just want to go hand it off, do some play action, where in Florida State, you got to go make them plays. And they're going to want another undefeated season. Compared to Louisville, you go 8-4, you the man.
Yes, you're the man. Hey, listen, only thing you got to worry about in Louisville is that you know who they're going to always compare you to at Louisville. But, you know, that's either here, and I think he can hold up to – some are part of that, but when we look at it and I break it down, like I say, that's how I got my prediction of the quarterbacks. I'm going to go Cam Ward to Miami, DJ over to Louisville, and Murphy to Florida State. Once I tell that to Florida State fans, they're going to go nuts. Nah, we want DJ. But listen, if you get Murphy, you are getting a solid quarterback that's going to be able to lead Florida State.
I think he definitely has more of an upside than DJU for sure.
Yes, yes.
Cam Ward would be who I want right now.
Yes.
And then it would be Murphy. And you might have a few growing pains just in the first few games that you'll win, though, because it's – especially if they don't have anybody, like, depending on who they play that first few. And then once the middle of the season hit, I feel like, boom, and you'll have them for multiple years. If you take DJU, you're going to be back in the portal again next year.
And there you go. You heard it from my man, DP. Man, thank you, DP, for taking time out today. It looks like it's cold out there in Texas.
Man, it is. It is. It was in the 30s this morning. It's going to get up to 65 today, but it's still a little chilly and a little windy, so I got to keep my stuff on, man.
We're windy, but we're more windy with the rain. We're supposed to have rain here in South Florida for the next 3 to 4 days. The wind's kicking up to 30 miles an hour at some point with the gust. But I would take that wind over what you guys are feeling in Texas. Because, you know, in Texas, when y'all drop too low, y'all start getting ice on you.
Man, ice, ribs messing up, and everything else.
So that's what I'm saying. As you hear, listen, anytime I got to get it, man, listen, you on your Instagram is blowing it up. You keep on giving us the inside. You know, once I see it, I call you. We double back on it, and we find out and get the – listen, I bring him on because I want to get the knowledge, because he's spitting the knowledge on his Instagram. You got to go follow him, man. It is fun. He had my grandson on, who helped my grandson go. Hey, listen, it went everywhere. Everybody was talking about it everywhere we went. So thank you for that, man. Listen, keep doing what you're doing, and I keep calling on you because you keep bringing the breaking news when it comes to college sports. Thank you for joining the show, my brother.
Man, I appreciate you. Anytime, man. You have a great day.
You too, my brother.
Later.
Thank you.
That's how you train like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No, not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got, I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got, I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. You were seeing my man Patterson, that he was breaking that down pretty well. He broke that down in a way that people can understand. Guys, the face of college sports is changing. Is forever what we once saw, you will not see again. It's not, these guys are getting paid. And the money value is steadily rising. NIL, everybody's trying to figure out, is going to be a free fall. And when I was telling, what I'm telling you about is, don't be surprised if another group of people start buying into college sports. And when they buy into college sports, do college sports become a competitor with the NFL? From a standpoint of, now I don't have to leave to go to the NFL. The desire to be at the NFL level, I don't have to have, because guess what? I can possibly get 5 to 10 million at the college level with less headaches. What I mean by less headaches, hey, listen, I'm on a college campus. The ability to jump out here and pay all these bills, I don't have to do. I'm still getting paid. Imagine you're a guy on a scholarship. You're making $5 million. Are you kidding me?
But here's the thing that I think we need to throw into the situation to have people think about. The National Football League right now is sitting there rubbing their hands and having drinks of champagne saying, this worked out exactly how we wanted it to.
Yes.
The USFL never worked the way that they wanted it to. The World League Football, the XFL, you've never had technically a minor league program or a developmental system that has technically really worked properly. Now what you're going to have is, you're going to have people staying in college to 26 years old playing a position. And guess what? When the guy comes out, he's mature. They don't have to teach him this scheme. I don't got to pay him all this money, first round draft pick, and let the guy go through the motions with the guy and maybe possibly lose 10, 12, 14, 20, 30 million on a quarterback and be rated as a bust. That's going to all go out the window now. They're going to take the Caleb Williams type of guys, or the guys who they think that are surefire guys. And other guys, DJ Ugalele guys, are going to go back to college, and they're going to still try to refine and redefine themselves. And then when the eligibility is up, they're going to enter the NFL, and that by that time, the guy will have many games experience, over 35, 40 games of experience. He will have seen every scheme defensively that needs to be thrown at him. Right. His fundamental game should have been way more prepared. So from a National Football League perspective, this is working out beautifully. Because what The Rock was trying to do with the XFL, it's not working. USFL, it's not working. They got a system now in place and a pipeline and a developmental system through the colleges that now will allow to be able to have players develop in college and come to the NFL way more prepared, even though they'll be older players.
Correct, correct. Now, V, when we talk about the reason why I said this, and we saw how golf turned out to where we would have never thought golf would have never ever have a competitor. Liv came in and said, hey, wait a minute, hold on. We got
more money than you.
Yeah, we got more money. So either we're going to wait you out or you're going to come on our side. And you remember it was a big old controversy. Big controversy going on with that. But now they money joined talks. Up with they buddy buddy. You did all this talking about these guys before. Now we become buddy buddies in this same golf world. And don't be surprised, because I think it's the USFL and the XFL have merged.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Now, do the Saudis start putting money in the XFL and the USFL and start the same thing that the USFL started? Because now they have that money. We can't.
That's a good point, but here's the difference. I'm going to compare it to soccer because I'm a big soccer fan, huge soccer fan. The Saudis, what they recently did, and the same thing with the PGA and LIV, is the same thing that they tried to do with the Saudi League by hiring Ronaldo and bringing Ronaldo and paying him $300 million and bringing in Benzema and all these other players from the European leagues that were reputable name players. And fund this league so people can watch this league and make their league rise. Unfortunately, no one watches the Saudi League. The quality of entertainment on the Saudi League and that quality of competition,
it's not on the side.
People watching the German League, the Bundesliga, people watching Liga MX, people watching La Liga in Spain, people watching Premier League, Serie A in France. These people are watching the different ones. So what I'm trying to say is, if they put the money behind The Rock and the XFL, there's no draw. And they like now, to fund things. Okay, go ahead.
But do they throw the money at the younger guys the premier guy. Like, okay, let's take one of the top draft picks that are coming out this year.
Okay, right? Caleb Williams. Yes.
Caleb Williams. Okay. You know there's a rookie cap.
Yes.
You remember how the USFL did that with Herschel Walker? But I think those were investors that was they don't have the resources that the Saudis may have.
Okay. It is,
so now you pay a Caleb Williams, you give Caleb Williams $100 million. Where do he go?
What are you paying him for exactly?
Hey, you're paying him now because you're trying to get premier players in the at the merging of the USFL and the XFL. You get
So let me make sure I understand you correctly. You're saying like Saudis would have come in, right?
Yes.
And they tell a guy, let's just say hypothetically, I'm going to pay you double what they pay you in your first year in the NFL.
And they'll probably make that even more than double because you got to figure you got the rookie salary cap. So you're not going to make as much. I give you $100 million. You ain't going to make $100 million on your rookie deal.
So let me ask you a question, though. You're saying then that they would create their own league to be able to combat with the NFL. Their own league
to compete with the NFL, as several leagues have tried, but that hasn't been able successful. And I don't know if it was because those leagues didn't have the funding. I think that where the NFL draw them out, but I think this league will have the funding. And all you got to do is go get a couple of premier players that are coming out of college. And you do you now my question, do you compete with them during the same time, or do you bring it up as they got it? Do you bring it up as a spring league?
Now, here's something I'm going to tell you, though. Here's something. There's very few brands on the planet.
That's
very few brands in any industry that are, quote, unquote, untouchable. There's Nike. Nike is, like, woven into the fabric of the American flag, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct. So
Nike is not ever going to go away. Planet will blow up. Nike will go away then. Until then, Nike will be here as long as humans. Yeah, that's right. So the National Football League is the same way. Unfortunately, the billions that they have, the power that they have with people who are on the political side of things, okay?
Yes.
There's a double-edged sword that they're working with that the PGA wasn't wielding that same power. Okay, PGA has money, is popular, but we're talking about the National Football League. Also, too, you're going to have to get stadiums.
Correct. And that's their biggest problem.
Hold on. No, I'm going to tell you the next biggest problem. Who's going to give you a contract?
Television deal.
Nobody giving you that deal. NFL turned to Fox and say, offer them what? That's against my rules.
That's against our contract.
I'm not signing off on that. NFL Network's not signing anything to give you. I don't care how much you pay me. I'm not broadcasting your games. Amazon can't take the deal. He took a deal already. You see?
Yes.
So they got them boxed in and everything. So what I'm saying is, again, the Saudi league, they was able to create they already had a league, but nobody was watching. So they brought all these celebrities in, and then they went to Fox and said, look, we got Ronaldo. Don't y'all want to put it? And Fox said, not on no real tier. So they put it on Fox 2, FS2.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because it just doesn't have the sustainability.
It doesn't have the same pizzazz. Yeah. So it's a nice thought.
It's a nice thought. But we start talking about the National Football League in America.
Yeah, it's hard to go up against that entity, that brand, that shield, as they call it.
That brand is untouchable, baby.
That shield is unbelievable. A lot of people have tried to go up against it and have failed.
Listen, The Rock, what you're saying, The Rock and them go. Listen, The Rock is in trouble. All that money he invested a couple years ago, ladies and gentlemen, he invested millions, okay? And then to merge this league, and then you know what the problem is? They don't have any drawing players into that league. You know what I'm saying? So now why am I going to sit down on a Saturday when the weather is nice outside in the springtime? And who am I going to watch?
That's the draw. I think that's that mix. But now, as you say, the draw, who's going to watch? Let's switch gears. Let's change the subject. And you are a man that has been around basketball for years. You were part of Nike
part EYBL. I still actually work for the Nike EYBL right now and waiting to get back on tour next year. So I got a lot of experience working with those
guys.
Let's
dab into this. Draymond Green.
Okay.
The situation that just jumped off with Draymond Green.
Sure.
And find out that he gets an indefinite suspension. Guys, and Thomas, hold on. Before we play that, I want people to, Thomas, do you have that video? Can we play that one with Draymond Green, the one that I just sent you?
Beal just picked up his third foul. And now Green runs over Nurkic, and he'll be called for the foul. And they're going to take a look at this. See Jason Goble indicating they will go to the monitor here. Nurkic is down in a heap. Green just plows right over Nurkic. And we'll see if there's anything unnecessary added to it. Ooh, oh, man. Mm.
Well, that's going to be a flagrant. Yep.
Let's come back, Thomas. Let's come back. All right, now, I yeah. see that. And with Green having so many chances that he's been given with the violence that he has, you know, displayed on the league. But when I looked at that video and I slowed it down, it almost as if he gave him one of those WWE type of hits to where it really wasn't a hard hit, but it was enough to where if you fall down, it was just one of those fake hits. If you look at that video, and I know it is shouldn't be done, it's not in the place of basketball. It is not for basketball. But I'm finding, and this is what I always say. I see basketball. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Giannis earlier that was running off the court. I haven't gotten an idea of what he was trying to go and do. I think he got in the scrimmage with somebody and he was running off the court. And the security was trying to hold him back and things of that nature. So, but right. I look at Dennis Green and I look at basketball. Basketball right. players always baffled me so much when they're fighting on the court. Right. It's like they don't really want to get each other. We, you know, as football players, we always, you know, we call basketball players. They doing all they soft. They ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to pin it back to each other. Don't want to scrap. Hoping that the coaches get in the middle, hoping that the coaches pull them back. Now, Draymond Green, though. Draymond is one of them dudes that looked like he want to scrap. He reminded me of Dennis Rodman. Type.
At any moment.
At any moment. Walk me through, how do you think that's going to play out with the National Basketball League, with him being suspended indefinite at this point? Do you see him coming back this year?
I think he's going to get the same treatment that Antonio Brown got, where the team, the league, are going to look into behavioral issues.
Uh-huh.
This is past basketball now. This is past, hey, man, that guy grabbed me. He tried to elbow me down the court. I had to get back at him. No. This is past that now, ladies and gentlemen. This is a habitual problem. Also, let's not forget, Draymond Green punched his own teammate before.
Yes. Okay? Yes. So
you got beef with the other people. You got beef with your own teammates, and they got beef with other people. Listen, I think it's time now I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a behavioral assessment on Draymond Green. This is deeper than sports. The man may have an issue. He may need some help.
Correct.
This is not normal for a player to play aggressive like this. Like Dennis Rodman like to get up underneath your skin. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying he wasn't a little out there too, but this is different. You know, I think Rodman got up underneath people's skin as a basketball player to protect Michael Jordan, to protect, you know, the Bulls aura and what it is that he was trying to do, or as a Pistons player. You know, that was his thing. He had a role when he did what he did. Draymond doesn't really have a role now. Now this has gone from protecting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to now being just a goon and a behavioral issue. So what I think is going to happen. I think what's going to happen is that I think a lot of the fraternity of basketball, the older players, along with the current players, are basically going to have a word with David Stern. And I'm sorry, the current commissioner. And what I think is going to happen is they're going to have to explain to the commissioner that this guy's breaking the oath of the fraternity. Right. And what I mean by that is he's just fighting people, bro. He fights his own teammates again. He fights other people. So If I see him any, you know, before January 15th, I will be stunned.
So you don't think he comes back? So that gives him how many games is that? What, that about 20 game suspension?
At least. He's going to get a month off at minimum. Maybe longer.
And I'm looking at it possibly to be longer. I never want no one suspended, but I think it's going to be possibly a longer suspension because I think they're going to try to send a message to Draymond that, hey, this behavior cannot be tolerated. If this was LeBron, and this is where I'm going to take this, if this was LeBron, far as, and Draymond was playing with LeBron, would we be expecting LeBron as the leader he is to step to Draymond and say, hey, next man, you got to cut this foolishness out? Why aren't we taking that same energy toward Steph and telling Steph, hey, you got to step up, you control this?
It's sort of like, this is the best analogy I could give you because I actually know these people. First off, if he was on the Los Angeles Lakers, a good friend of mine is named Phil Handy, who is the assistant coach of the Philadelphia of the Los Angeles Lakers. He's one of only two people besides Mike Brown to coach LeBron James and Kobe Bryant in a lifetime. So Coach Handy, everybody knows Coach. Coach ain't having it. You know what I'm saying? He's the assistant coach. Everybody respects Phil Handy. Coach would not allow that to take place, nor would the organization. LeBron wouldn't allow it either. I think Steph Curry, I compare Steph Curry to Patrick Mahomes. You see how Kadarius Toney cost him that game, right?
Correct.
He didn't throw Kadarius. He didn't say that man needed to do his job. Yeah. He could have easily said that, right? Tom Brady or somebody else would have either came out and said, listen, man, we all got to do our job, including him. You know what I'm saying? He didn't do it. He blamed refs, controlling
games. He went around it.
So Steph Curry is the same thing as Patrick Mahomes. He ain't going to Draymond telling him that.
But why are we expecting, we would expect more out of LeBron than we would expect out of Steph Curry in a situation like
that? Character-wise, I think LeBron James is a person, has a stronger character in terms of being able to communicate with different types of people. LeBron is one of the best things that he doesn't get credit to that I've known, that I've seen as working in the EYBL and him being endorsed to Nike, is LeBron James is a beautiful communicator. He's able to communicate with all different types of people, whether they're ethnicity, different type of people, different peoples of different backgrounds, or if it's different players of different ilks. Okay, so he can deal with them, you know, and that's the beauty and part of being a leader. Not that Steph isn't, but I just don't think that he has the personality to engage Draymond like that.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Kobe Bryant had the ability, who Kobe was, he had the ability to engage Ron Artest.
Queensbridge
Project, same goon, right? So he was able to tell him, yo, my man, you got to get on the team and roll with us. We trying to win a chip. And Ron Artest said, anybody touch Kobe Bryant, you're going to have to deal with me.
And then it boiled down to Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman.
That's right.
If Jordan put his butt down, hey, listen, Dennis, not tonight.
Know your role. Dennis, that's right.
Play the role. Find it. Listen, and we got some of, and we talked about some of the play of Draymond Green. Thomas, could you play that one soundbite we just sent you with Draymond Green?
Zero the first 2 minutes, and then
look at some of the things that going on.
Out of here,
that we're talking about that have brought us to this point.
Draymond, and
that, behavioral, yeah, behavioral. Look at him, man.
Chill out.
Here we go again.
That's right.
And this.
I got to have.
when you looked at that video, man, and this is why I loved it, that when I got sent that video, it reminded the way Draymond was choking. It reminded me of the situation on Baby Boy when my boy was choking him and told him, hey, listen, man, hey, he got right. Like, that's what these are, the antics that are going on now. Now, I would back Draymond more in that situation, because he was going to the rescue of a teammate.
I'll tell you one thing. I give Draymond one thing. He's able to do what he's able to do in this era of basketball. But I'm telling y'all now, if this man was back when Charles Oakley and you know, all the guys from the Pacers.
Yeah, the bad boy Pacers.
Saying? That bad boy that Pacers, man. You know, Detroit Pistons, man. Bill Laimbeer and them boys, you know. Rick Mahorn, man, I don't think this would be going on.
This group of like I told you, that's why I say these basketball players, this year generation of basketball players are pretty soft, man. And they get on the court and they want to be bullies and they want to fight. But I think this one here, I think the league itself and Dumars, who had to come down with the sanction,
right,
who was a friend of Draymond, had to come and say, hey, listen.
Also, too, don't be surprised the same way in the Antonio Brown situation where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization said he has problems, he has to go for an evaluation. We're recommending that. Don't be surprised if Steve Kerr, the head coach, along with the general manager, side with the league and say, hey, we agree.
Now, at first, you know, Steve Kerr came out, I guess before he had a chance to really watch the video, it came out a little bit defending his player, which that's normal.
He always does.
And then I think once he saw it, he doubled back.
He always does with Draymond. He's like, well, I don't know. You know, I didn't really see it. And then the next day, he come out like, man, he was totally wrong. You kind of know what he's doing, bro.
Listen, and I would expect that. I would love a coach. I love coaches like that. I played in college and in high school with coaches like that. That hey, they was more or less, listen, I'm gonna fight with my players to the bitter end. I'm not gonna let him get out.
You know he's crazy though.
Yeah. Now he look now. Don't let Steve done had his run in when he was in the league. Now don't.
Sure. Yeah, but you know what it is? I think Draymond is worn out his welcome now. I think he's just gotten to the point now where it's just irrational. It's not like you're protecting anyone.
Yeah,
or anything. Like, you know, it's just
like last night. If you wanted to do some drafts, all you had to do is slap the. I can see if you reach back and slap his hand off him. But to go back and get to throw that haymaker, I call that a haymaker. But I don't know if it was. It just when I look back at it, it don't seem like it was as hard.
Let me tell you what it is.
And it appeared.
In football, right now, the same thing is kind of happening with Kareem Jackson of the Denver Broncos. Yes. He has gotten suspended twice this year for hitting people like how you supposed to hit somebody.
Hit somebody, but right.
Not in this era of football.
Correct.
So when
correct.
Kareem do hit somebody and it's a borderline, it might be a flag. Maybe it's not. He getting a flag, bro, because he's Kareem Jackson now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Same thing with Draymond. You don't got to slap him that hard. You slap him a little bit, you're getting something.
And that's what, you know, it has gotten so bad. And I feel, Draymond, I like his toughness. I'm always going to like the toughness of a player. That's just who I am. I just have that, But, man, it's going to be, I think this is going to hurt Draymond. I think it's going to give him time to really process this. But when we talk about process, before we get out of here, we got 3 minutes, guys. Thomas is telling me, my producers, that we got 3 minutes. Let's break down tonight's game. We got the Raiders and the Chargers.
Problem, brother. Listen, this is another football game that we're all sitting here watching. We're watching backup quarterbacks play, ladies and gentlemen. 12 of the 32 teams last week started backup quarterback. 50 quarterbacks have started the NFL this season. 5-0. There's only 32 teams, but there have been 50 people that had to play the position. This is the death of the quarterback right now. This is going to be a tough game to watch. Jimmy Garoppolo should be in by third quarter.
Oh, wow. Listen.
You heard it here first.
Give me your pick. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I'm picking the Raiders on this.
Taking the Chargers, brother. Eastern Stick, quarterback out of North Dakota State. Same school that Carson Wentz to. Really good kid. Watch him. He can throw the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Raiders on. All right.
They're both terrible, bro. They're both bad teams in my division.
Both five. Hey, when you got both of them 5-8, wow. How bad. And you hope this is not a game to where you fall asleep watching it. But that's another.
I'm going to be listening to some Motown music because I'm on my way to Motown because the Broncos playing in Detroit. I'm going to Detroit, baby. I'm going to have to turn on some Smokey Robinson.
You're going to see Detroit Lions and the Broncos. That's going to be a great game, man.
It's going to be a great game. Saturday night, 7:15 Eastern Standard Time.
It is live in color. When you say prime time, that's prime time. And it's prime going time. To be fun. Now, hey, before we get out, give me your coach of the year. Who you think now?
That's a tough one, bro. It's a tough one. Coach, but I got to go right now. As of right now, this is a tough choice. But as of right now, I'm going to go with Houston Texans coach.
That's who I pick. D'Amico Ryan. I'm going to D'Amico
Ryan. D'Amico Ryan's got to get the job. This franchise was in the bottom of the basement in all sports. This is one of the worst organizations. They did David Culley wrong, African-American coach. They did Lovie Smith wrong, who had a 10-6 record. This organization was in disarray. Bill O'Brien, the whole thing, Deshaun Watson, the whole scandal. D'Amico Ryan's brother.
That's who I picked. D'Amico Ryan. You hear it here on
the and if Stroud wasn't hurt, Stroud would be the MVP. Listen, it's only happened one time in NFL history. The Rookie of the Year and the MVP. I wanted Stroud to get the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. It's only been done once by James Brown.
That's like I said. That's who I'm going with, D'Amico Ryan. Listen, we got our picks. We gave you. I'm going Raiders.
I'll take the Chargers. Going
Chargers.
I don't even know how.
Let's get this thing rolling. Listen, we'll see you next week here on the Tony Sands Show as we're bringing you more of life and sports as they merge together to make greatness. Peace.
Deuce. Cowboys and Broncos. Big games this weekend.
Big games,
Cowboys
baby.
Cowboys and Broncos.
How about them Cowboys?
Cowboys.